Good morning, listeners, and welcome to this week's Farm Focus. I'm Jim Finn. Later on in the programme, I will be talking to Carl Kissan about the National Dairy Show, which is taking place virtually this year. Listeners, my first guest this morning is Gavin Doherty from Chagas, and he's there in the Ennis office, and he's with me to talk about wintering weanlings. Good morning, Gavin, and thanks very much for joining us.
How's it going? Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Thanks very much, Gavin. With winter approaching and many weanlings in the process of being housed, what should farmers be doing?
Jim, the first thing you should be looking at is just making sure that you have adequate accommodation for the winter ahead. So just making sure the sheds are fit for purpose, that you have adequate straw bedding if you're straw bedding them, that the shades, that they're good ventilation. In terms of, if you want a shade there now, and if you look up at the roof, and there's cobwebs on the roof, or the sheeting's dark, maybe a sign of poor ventilation. So maybe looking into that and preparing for the winter ahead, ensuring you have proper lighting in the shade for feeding on the dark winter mornings and evenings, and that animals have good water facilities, a plentiful supply, and that you actually clean out the drinkers in time, and that's fresh, clean water. That each animal has enough space for lying down, that you're not planning on crowding too many animals into a shade, that you have the whole thing thought out, and that each animal has enough feeding space if you're in something at a mono or something at a meal during the winter period.
Right. For some farmer then, Gavin, that doesn't have enough of winter bedding, are there alternatives?
Well, at the minute, the price of weanlings is very high at the minute. Look, it might be an opportunity there maybe just to pick some of your stronger weanlings and selling them. It might be just as profitable as that there. A lot of farmers are on the beam scheme now at the minute too, which have to reduce animals over a 12-month period. Maybe it's an opportunity to sell a few to meet the requirements of that. And that would be the main things I'd be looking at anyways. Maybe there's an odd shade on the yard that you maybe turn into alternative accommodation, but you want to be working with your advisor to make sure it's fit for purpose.
And I know it's used elsewhere when people are short of bedding for weanlings, and that is turf mould. Do they do that in Clare?
Not my awareness.
Yeah.
There isn't, but I know a lot of farmers are using rushes that would mean dry out during the winter. You want to make sure that they're very, very dry, and just the dust element of it too, that they're doubled and chopped.
Okay. Now, with weanlings being set to be housed from November to April, what should farmers be supplementing these animals with?
Well, look, depending on what you're planning on doing with your weanlings the next spring, it's going to be determined of us. But nevertheless, no matter what animal, whatever you're planning on doing with them, you want to be feeding high-quality silage. Look, you're planning roughly silage around 72 DMD. Testing your silage now, depending on what quality is, then it'll be depend on the level of meal you're planning on supplementing. Animals that are planning on going to grass next summer, you probably, if you fed top quality silage, 72 DMD, with a kilo of meal would be sufficient. Silage that is not as high quality, maybe around 65, 68 DMD, may need 2 kilos of meal alongside it. But it's just making sure that your animals are thriving over the winter. Look, generally you want animals to be doing about 0.6 of a kilo a day. So look, a lot of animals, especially in the Clare region in the northwest and down the west coast, are going to be doing five months. So you want them doing 90 kilos over that 5 months. So that's an animal going under the shade about 320 kilos, coming out just over the 400 kilos, 410 kilos. So, just plenty of supply of good quality silage, supplementing 1 to 2 kilos a meal. That is 15% crude protein, and plenty of supply of water and maybe minerals too, if needs be, if it's not on your meal already.
You mentioned testing the silage. Should nearly all farmers test the silage to see how good it is?
Oh, by far, every farmer should be testing their silage. Like, I know a lot of farmers have silage made earlier in the year, in May, June time. Silage should be a good quality, but that's even just thinking you have good silage and testing might show up something different. A studded sample is probably in around region 30 to 30 euros, 40 euro maybe. And look at it, it'll tell you exactly where you're at. A lot of cases is you could feed animals over the winter, poor quality studded, thinking that they're doing well because you're checking them every day. And then next thing you go to the mart the following spring, and look, they mightn't be as heavy as you expect there, and you're going to be back. You're going to be back in price.
And of course, if your silage is of very good quality, you're going to cut down any amounts of concentrates that you have to use.
Yep, that's exactly it. If you can get away feeding an animal even 1 kilo a day, less meal, that's 150 kilos over a space of 5 months, which is equivalent to maybe 35 to 40 euro worth of money per head. So, look, it's money. One by reducing the meal for one animal may pay for the silage sample.
Okay, animals are in. What parasites should farmers consider treating in Wainlands?
Look, the main parasites probably affecting Wainlands now in the coming months. That's probably going to be lungworm, your stomach worms, your sucking and your biting lice, and then possibly your liver fluke and the rumen fluke. Look, if Wainlands aren't housed already, maybe it's an opportunity out there now. What I'd be encouraging farmers to do is doing a worm dose before they go on. So basically, animals may be heavily infected with lungworm now specifically in the last couple of months. By dosing them now before they go on, it'll give them time for their lungs to heal and basically prepare themselves for the winter ahead. So with animals going inside with heavy infections of lungworm, become under stress and there's a possibility they could take pneumonia. Your second one then would be your stomach worms. Look, there's a lot of resistance out there at the minute to products for controlling stomach worms. You have ivermectins there. You have yellow doses and you have white doses. Look, basically what you're trying to do there is basically maybe looking and giving an ivermectin going inside. It'll give you your 4 weeks persistency over, so it'll give you good cover. Basically then it'll cover also sucking lice too, so it will.
Okay, and of course, when the animals are in and mainly on silage, they don't pick up that many parasites when they're in.
Yep, no, that's exactly it. Yeah. So, like, what I've been chatting to a lot of farmers there over the couple of weeks, some farmers would maybe leave the dosing regime maybe to before animals go out, or maybe dosing during the summertime. But the best time now, specifically the ones I mentioned there earlier, you want to get a good control on these parasites going on. So, like a lot of cases for controlling, like for your fluke, for example, there, one dose mightn't be sufficient. Depending on the product you use, you need to be working in conjunction with your vet. There's products out there that only kill adult fluke.
Yeah.
So, if you dose an animal going in, they might need another dose in 12 weeks' time again. And there's other products out there that if you do them exactly 2 weeks after they go on, it'll kill all three stages of fluke. Look, it's products like your Endofluke and your Fasenix and your Tribex will kill all elements of your fluke, so it will.
Okay, you mentioned lice, of course, when animals are in and lice can hop from one animal to the other, so it is very important to make certain sure they're treated for lice.
No, that's exactly it. Look, the main thing is try to maybe, if you're trying to control worms going on, a lot of cases farmers may be given ivermectin earlier, so look, that'll cure sucking lice, but it won't cure biting lice. So, look, you might have to go on again with a pour on or with some sort of a shower, basically to control the biting lice. Look, the main thing is when you put animals inside, try not to be mixing them with animals brought in litter, because these animals brought in a litter date may have lice and can jump from one animal to the next, so it can.
And finally, this morning, Gavin, the main key points that farmers should take on board in the coming weeks.
Look, in my eyes, the main things the farmers should be looking at in the coming weeks is basically a lot of animal calves that are not weaned already will be weaned. So it's just basically introducing meat before the weaning, getting animal on reliance on another form of just trying to ease the weaning process. So taking the calves away from taking the cows away from the calves on a gradual basis, basically trying to group animals on the same size and whether male or female inside the shade. Looking after your animals that are basically maybe didn't do as well during the summer for you. So basically allocating these animals maybe an extra few kilos of meal, and basically having a good parasite control program on farm. So basically working alongside your vet and your local advisor. So that'll be the main things in my eyes for the coming winter, and trying to allocate your best quality silage to your windlings, because these animals that you will be selling now the next following spring.
Okay, well, look, Gavin, thanks very much for joining us this morning with all that good advice. And farmers, if you are bringing in your animals in the next couple of weeks, Chagas are there to help you and give you any advice that you should require. Listeners, my next guest this morning is Carl Cassan, and Carl is with me to talk about the National Dairy Show. Good morning, Carl. You're welcome to Farm Focus on Clare FM.
Good morning, Jim. It's great to join you.
Okay, it's great to have you on, Carl. We're talking about the National Dairy Show. I'm quite sure the National Dairy Show is very different this year to what it has been in the past. I presume you're going virtually, are you?
We are indeed, Jim, yeah. So, I mean, the National Dairy Show, it's actually been in the Glen Quinn Glen's Arena in Mill Street since 1982. But of course, this year, with all our restrictions and with COVID-19, it's impossible to run an actual physical show. So the committee, when they met to postpone the show, they decided with all the postponements of everything happening this year, that it'd be a great idea actually to try and have something for people where they can interact and to see what's happening. So they made the decision to actually run it virtually this year, to have a virtual dairy show, which will be going out on the 28th and the 29th of October.
Right, so that's only at the end of the week. So it's going out on the 2 days. So what's happening? What's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Yeah, so it's going out on 2 evenings to try and suit as many farmers as possible. So it'll be starting both evenings at about 6 p.m. and running about 9:30 p.m. So when we were sitting down to see what could be done, we tried to see, could we bring as much as possible of a physical event into your home, let's say, on the virtual event. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of panel discussions about very relevant topics in farming and dairy farming at the moment, such as selective dry cow therapy, antibiotic resistance, breeding, infrastructure, grass and sustainability. We'll have keynote speakers. We'll have Donald Moore from the Global Dairy Platform, which is based out of Chicago, to talk about where dairy farming is probably going in the next 10 years. We've got Zoe Cavanagh from the National Dairy Council to speak about, say, dairy's interaction with consumers. There's going to be a lot of demonstrations of machinery and different items like that. There'll be competitions, there'll be polls. There's going to be a lot of exhibitors on the site as well. So the way the site has been built, it's all about simplicity of use for the person who logs on to watch the show. So let's say on your home screen, the video or the live discussion will be playing. But while that's playing, you can also interact. You can ask some questions of the speakers. It's as simple as using just how you would send a text message. You just text your question there and there on the screen. You can click into the different exhibitors. So we have many of the biggest companies involved in dairy or supplying dairy, different to the dairy industry here in Ireland involved. You click on the exhibitor, that'll take you to their, say, exhibition, almost like you were at the physical show. You can view videos of their products, look at their brochures, and also when you're in the exhibitors, you can actually ask them questions live as well. They will be on the site live that both evenings. So if you've got a question about some product that one of the exhibitors are selling, you can actually type your question right there and then on your laptop, on your phone, and the people in the exhibitions or the companies can get straight back to you. So the idea behind it is that we're trying to bring as much of the physical show as possible to people virtually at home, make an enjoyable experience, and see where dairy is going, see what's happening, and have some really interesting discussions and debates over the boat night.
Now, it's great that you're holding the show, because I suppose one of the few industries that's really buzzing at the moment happens to be the dairy industry. There's a lot of expansion going on. There's a lot of, I suppose, new buildings and new equipment being looked for by farmers. So they will be able to access most of that, will they?
Yes, there's many different companies involved like that would be supplying all this different stuff. If you were thinking about expansion, or as I say, there'll be all the different kind of companies there as well. They might be selling different stuff like, let's say, that dealing with the kind of problems, or not the problems, but the new kind of regulations going to be coming around, antibiotic resistance, etc. like that. We'll be looking at grass. But as well as, say, the companies, your normal kind of companies who will be selling the products, say, when you look at the discussions we're having, it's not only discussing, like, what has happened in dairy up to now. Like, a lot of the discussions are actually going to be more, like, looking into what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. So if we even take the infrastructure discussion, there'll be maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes of that with an expert panel. But they'll be looking at okay, you're thinking about expanding or thinking about building. Well, what would your buildings need to look like, let's say, in 5 or 10 years' time? What kind of buildings would actually suit what dairy farming will be in the future? That it's not just about business as usual. We're also looking at, like, what possibilities are there for what's going to happen into the future.
Will you have an input from the Department of Agriculture at it?
We actually have the Minister. So Minister Charlie McConnell is actually going to be opening the show, and we're also going to have an interview with him. And as well on, I think it's at least one, if not two, of the panels, there'll be people from the Department of Agriculture there to discuss where they see things moving. So yes, we've got the Department of Agriculture also on board with this.
Right. And any Brussels presence coming over from the Commission to let us know how things are going with CAP and other things like that that are of interest to farmers, Carl, no?
Yeah, no, unfortunately we weren't able to get hold of anybody at this stage because, as we know, at the moment it's really getting down to the nuts and bolts with the CAP. So I guess they were just not comfortable at this minute in time to kind of say, come out publicly and say what's happening, because with negotiations so tight, I'm guessing that any changes could happen and they could be left high and dry almost with statements that they're making. So we don't have that, but hopefully with the combination of the people from the Department of Agriculture, the Minister, people from the likes of UCD, Enterprise Ireland, all this, that they will have a good idea where things are going and can give some guidance to farmers so they have an idea of where things are moving.
Yeah, and I presume that being down there in Cork, there's going to be quite a big input to the whole discussion from Moor Park, I presume.
We will have one or two speakers from Chagas, but it's, yeah. I guess the way they, if you look at the dairy show, normally, yeah. It's not just about, say, I want to say all kind of grass-based. There's kind of going to be a good combination of, of your grass-based. We're going to have grass-based farmers on speaking even about multi-species swards and that. But we'll also be looking at, let's say, the kind of more high-input farmers will have an input into this mm-hmm. show and the discussion. Because traditionally with the dairy show, let's say there would be a lot of actual cow showing of the animals. There would be the champion each year, selected. So that's actually one thing that, it was a problem we were kind of looking at, how could we kind of incorporate that into the virtual show? And what actually is happening is there's going to be a champion of the decade. So the champion cow from the last 10 years, they're all going to be up on show, and one champion is going to be selected overall. So there's an expert judge coming in from the UK looking at this, and also everybody who's logged on online will have an opportunity to vote on who they think the champion will be. So that should spark some good discussion as well, looking at it from that point of view, what is the champion cow of the last 10 years? So we'll see what that leads to.
When you're talking about the champion cow, we're talking about this Holstein Friesian champion cow that we have every year. Is that correct?
Correct, yes. So year at the Mill Street Show, there would be one champion. So the champion from the last 10 years will all go forward. So there'll be 10 of them competing for the overall champion. Yeah,
That should be a bit of fun, all right. That will be probably the most competitive thing that you'll have at it, knowing farmers. But logistically, this must have been a nightmare for you, was it?
There was a lot of work involved, but I would say in one way, it's actually given us a big opportunity, that we're not actually physically kind of, say, constricted with having to come to a physical event now this year. Like, as I mentioned, some of the speakers we have are actually international. We have another speaker from New Zealand as well. So, I mean, if we were having the physical show, it'd probably be impossible to bring these guys actually to it. But mm-hmm. the fact that it's all being set up online, we're actually able to get these speakers to speak live and to interact with people and to answer questions. So we're actually able to put maybe a kind of a broader panel together than just the people who can actually physically travel to the show on the day. No, I will agree, there has been a bit of work, all right, in the building of, we'll say, the platform where all this is running, because mm-hmm.
it
had to be purposely built that the videos can run, that the people can text in their questions, and it's kind of unique to what has been built is, let's say, if you're interested in dropping into a site, let's say into a Dairy Gold or into one of the veterinary sites or into somebody who's selling something that you're interested in having your farm, well, you can drop into their site, ask them questions, but the videos of the live discussions or the keynote speakers can still continue in the background. So it's not like you're coming out of one page and into another. Everything is going to be happening live, still on your home screen, let's say, that kind of way. So it should be very interactive, the way it has been built.
Okay, the whole thing sounds very interesting altogether. And as you say, it's taking place at the end of this week. Give me out the dates again, the 2 days.
Yeah, it's on Wednesday the 28th and Thursday the 29th of October. Both evenings kicking off at 6. And to register, you just go to nationaldairyshow.ie. Registration is completely free. It'll only take a few seconds to register, and once you register up, you'll get your email through with your link to just click on both nights to go through to it.
So all very simple there for my listener. So
yeah, it should be very, very simple. So it should be a very easy process, and I'd say it should be very enjoyable. It's a case of log on, have your cup of tea or a cup of coffee, something stronger if you wish, because there'll be no need to drive home, and just sit back and enjoy what's on offer both nights.
Okay, well, look at Carl. I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning and telling us all about how the National Dairy Show is going to be run this year. Listeners, it's on the 28th and the 29th. That's Wednesday and Thursday. It kicks off at 6 o'clock, so the milking will be done. And why not? Carl is after telling you how to register, so why not go onto the site and register? You'll have some really good entertainment for a few hours on Wednesday and Thursday. That, listeners, was Carl Cassan. That, listeners, is Farm Focus for this week. But before I go, just to remind my farmer listeners that cattle marts will be functioning as per level 5. And please don't forget to join me, Jim Finn, at the same time next week for another Farm Focus on Clare FM. Coming up next is the news at 10 o'clock. And after that, Mike Gardner presents Country Corner.